Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in that city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had been invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she's a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," Simon said. Two people were in a debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, the other 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. "Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." Jesus turned to him and said, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But to the one to whom little is forgiven, loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel scene is one of the most beautiful, but it's also one of the most important for us to grasp if we're really going to love the Lord. Because Jesus teaches us today how to love the Lord increasingly more. But there are so many Catholics, even those who come to Mass on Sundays, even those who come to Mass during the week, who yet don't really love the Lord the way He wants. Today's Gospel opens up that key. It was customary whenever anybody in the Middle East entered a home, the three gestures would take place. The first would be a sign of peace in which the master of the house would come, he'd put his right hand on the other's left shoulder and say, "Shalom, peace." Next, servants would come, and with cold water they would wash the feet, because the feet would catch lots of dust as it was walking along the dirt roads. And then third, because there would have been perspiration along that way, they'd either put some incense, or some nice-smelling ointment, or some odoriferous flower petals on the person's head as basically a cologne. That was for every guest. Simon didn't show that basic hospitality to Jesus at all, which not only was showing that he didn't really have typical Middle Eastern hospitality, but that he was taking Jesus for granted. Everybody would eat leaning on their left arm with their right arm free to eat, and they'd be reclining at table. There were no chairs in the ancient world. And that's how the woman was able to come and approach Jesus' feet on the outside of what would have probably have been an oval. She began first by pouring ointment on his feet, and then washing the ointment with her tears. We don't know if she was weeping copiously, or there was actually a tear jar in the ancient world in which a woman would cry her tears in and save them, so that it would eventually get full of water. Perhaps she was using her tear jar, we don't know. But copious tears. And then with her long hair, again, loose women had loose hair. And her hair was loose. She used it to mop up Jesus' feet. And Jesus used it as an illustration after Simon said, "This man can't possibly be a prophet if he wouldn't know that this woman were a sinner and would allow this woman to touch him and do what she is doing." So Jesus gave that beautiful parable about the two debtors and who would love the creditor more who had forgiven the debt. Simon could grasp that the one who had been forgiven more would be more grateful. And Jesus said that that was absolutely true. And he gave us a very important principle. To the one whom little is forgiven, loves little. And the correlative is the one who has been forgiven much, loves much. That this woman was capable of loving the Lord Jesus very much. She knew, as we prayed in the psalm, that his mercy endures forever. She knew who he was, and she knew that he could reconstitute her. So she came with great love for Jesus and great gratitude for that gift. And she left, saved by faith, leaving with the shalom that Jesus had come to bring into the world. It was Simon who stood astride, not appreciating Jesus, not even grasping who he was, who left loving Jesus little, if not at all. One of the most important things we need to grasp, and Pope Francis has been stressing it from even before his papacy, is that if we're going to love Jesus, we're going to love him in his mercy. And if we don't come and receive his mercy and don't really appreciate it because we don't need it, we don't think we really need him. We might think he's a great teacher. We might look forward to hanging out with him forever in heaven. But we don't really grasp who he is, who we are, and how the two of us are supposed to interrelate. I've mentioned before that great image in the book-length interview in 2010 before he became a pope, in which he said, "One of the greatest things that can happen to us in life," Pope Francis said, "is when we recognize we're a sinner." He says, "We're like those drowning in a river in which Jesus has jumped off from heaven into this toxic swamp, giving his life in order to push us to the shore. And it's only those of us who recognize we were dying in a cesspool of our own sinfulness, but that Jesus himself had come, entered into our world and cleansed us, dying for us in the process, but rising on the third day." It's only those of us who grasp this, who recognize who we really are. And he says it's only we great sinners who have had this grace. This morning at the Domus Sancti Marte in the Vatican, Pope Francis preached about this gospel. He said there's a huge contrast between Simon and this woman. This woman drew near to Jesus in his mercy. Simon stood aloof. It wasn't that he was an evil guy, but he just didn't recognize how much he needed God's mercy. It was only this woman who received that peace, because we'll never have peace if we're lugging around all our sins that really do divide us from the Lord, whether we're aware of it or not, and do divide us from others. The only one who preaches more about the sacrament of confession than I do is Pope Francis. And there are all types of people who say how much they love Pope Francis, but I'm still waiting for those who say that they love him to start making a pilgrimage, actually with tears, with perfect contrition, begging the Lord's mercy for their sin. Because if we're not doing it, we're really loving the Lord a little. If we want to grow in our love for the Lord, we're going to grow in love for his mercy. Come and get it, and then share it. Today, in the first reading, we see someone who grasps this important lesson. St. Paul, at the end of this passage, which is the earliest passage in sacred scripture. St. Paul was writing this in the early 50s, before any of the Gospels were written, and what he had included in there was what he had been preaching the entire time. It's the earliest part of the New Testament. But at the very end of this passage, he says, last of all, as to one born abnormally, and the word there in Greek is the word for an abortion, as one born aborted, dead, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called one, because I used to persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, that merciful grace, I am what I am. And this grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I've toiled harder than all the rest. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is within me, the grace that has been restored. St. Paul, because he had been forgiven much, loved much, and in fact he loved so much that he was willing to spend the whole rest of his life after Jesus met him on that road to Damascus, spreading that love, even though it would lead to 5 scourgings, even though he would be shipwrecked on the sea, even though he would be beaten with rods, even though he would be multiply imprisoned. He crisscrossed the entire ancient world as an ambassador of Christ, begging others in the Lord's name to be reconciled to God, to receive that same gift he himself had received. This was his passion. He said at the beginning of today's reading, I'm reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached. What is that good news? The good news in which you've received and into which you're standing. Through it, you're also being saved. This isn't just information. This is something that changes us deeply. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, if you didn't believe in vain, and here it comes. For I handed on to you as of first importance, as the greatest thing ever, the most important gift you've ever gotten. I've handed on to you as of first importance what I myself received, that Christ died. Why? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, raised on the third day, appeared to Cephas, the 12, and then all the rest, and lastly to Paul. That is the good news. That is the kerygma, the essential proclamation that Jesus died for our sins, but he rose, he took those sins away, and that he started to appear to all of us, and then left, so that we could start to bring that same gift to others. That's what the gospel is about. Do we pass on this truth to others as if the greatest gift we've ever received? St. Paul grasped it, and that's why he would say earlier in this letter, as we heard last week, Caritas Christi urgit nos, that the love of Christ, this merciful love of Christ, spurs us on, impels us to live by it and to share it. Today we celebrate St. Joseph Cupertino, whose whole life is summarized by this crazy response to the merciful love of the Lord. St. Joseph was really dull. You know, in the history of all the saints, he was probably academically the stupidest by far. When he was growing on up, he couldn't even finish sentences. He couldn't tell stories because he'd get lost in the middle of the story. Everybody was frustrated by him. He couldn't hold a job. He was good for nothing. He was apprenticed to one of his family members who was a shoemaker. He couldn't even grasp it. The only thing he could really do was clean up the floor. He wanted to become a Franciscan. They took him in at first. He was simple enough. He was poor enough. But they got so frustrated with him that they let him go because he couldn't retain any aspect of the formation. But eventually, through another relative, the mother didn't want him back at home. He was able to be accepted as a third order so that he could work and sleep in the stable, caring for the animals. He was the happiest person on the planet because at least that way he would be able to respond to the love of God. And there, he would be singing to the animals. He had a far greater relationship with animals than even his spiritual father, St. Francis, did. And eventually, people started to notice how joyful he was, how happy he was at how good the Lord had been in giving him that Franciscan vocation and allowing him to work with the animals and be numbered among them. That lots of people just started to come when they were struggling through various issues. A lot of the even brighter friars would look to him for advice. Eventually, Bishop came by, recognized that there was something special, and told the superior, "You should think about getting him ordained a priest." They couldn't believe it. But the bishop had said it. So they were at least going to give him a shot. Again, he was dull. So what happened? It's easy to advance on the minor orders, we used to call them. But there were strict examinations for the diaconate and for the priesthood. And he couldn't really get any of his studies together. But as he was going before the examining board, they asked him one question from Sacred Scripture to explain. They did a typical sort of search, stopped, and they said, "Explain to us the passage. Beatus ventus qui portavit." Giuseppe Cupertino didn't understand Latin. And he put his head down. He said, "My Latin's not very good, I'm sorry." They had compassion on him and said, "Okay, the passage is, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee.'" And immediately perked up. It was the only passage that he used to ponder all the time, because he had such a great love for Our Lady that he started to go on as if he were giving his doctoral defense, because he knew that passage inside out. Everybody just, wow, this guy really knows Sacred Scripture. He doesn't know Latin. They passed him on to the diaconate. But then the priestly examination was coming up, and he didn't think he would be so lucky. But he was at the end of the line of those being examined, and the first half dozen of the Franciscans hit the ball so far out of the park that the examiner said, "You guys are the best prepared we've ever had. We're going to just pass you all. No need wasting our time." And he was so grateful to the Lord that the Lord had arranged that whole path. He's the patron saint of exam takers to this day. But he's also, frankly, the patron saint of aviators, because of that love of the Lord that he contained within, that great love for mercy. Whenever he saw an image of the Lord, like in a very tall Gothic church, crucifix way up above, he couldn't restrain himself, and that love of the Lord pulled him like a magnet. And including among many heads of state, including many skeptics, he would fly straight over their head to embrace the Lord and the crucifix way above the sanctuary. It was impossible for him when he celebrated Mass to keep his feet on the ground, because his love was lifting him upward. That prayer, "Lift up your hearts," was one that lifted him up as his heart was elevated. Became an embarrassment to the Franciscans because he couldn't control it. So they basically kept him hidden for most of the rest of his life. But he never complained, because everything was a gift of the Lord's mercy. The gift of the Lord's mercy should make us fly. Not necessarily in the way St. Joseph Cupertino was allowed to, for whatever God's reasons were, but should make us fly as ambassadors of Christ to bring, as of the first and greatest importance to others, what we ourselves had received. Because frankly, we were all born aborted. We were all born outside of the grace of the Lord because of original sin. But the Lord, in His mercy, restored us to that grace in the sacrament of baptism, and never ceases to do so in the sacrament of what the early saints called second baptism, which is the sacrament of His mercy, the sacrament of confession. Today, let us ask the Lord through St. Joseph's intercession for the grace to love the Lord much, because we recognize how much we've been forgiven. Praise be Jesus Christ.